agenda item number one. Report and possible discussion on Internal Revenue Service determination letter update by Monica Wheelis, Human Resource Manager. Monica?
We're actually going to start with a brief history of the plan for the new members and actually those of us who are still trying to figure the plan out and what we've done so far. Next slide, please. The plan originally was adopted in 1959. It was a fully funded employer plan, defined benefit. In 1997, the board determined that, you know, looked at it prior to that, 96, I believe, is when they started, and determined that it was fairly expensive to continue the benefits as they were as a fully funded plan. So they went out and contracted with an actuary to prepare some options for them, and what we ended up with was an amended plan. It was still one plan, but it had a defined benefit and a defined contribution component to it. And at the time in 1997, we had 172 plan participants participating in the plan, and they were all given the option to remain on the existing plan as it was, or transition, which they're considered transition employees, transition to the new plan that had the DB and DC components with the look back. So if at the end of the day when they were ready to retire, the benefit would have been better had they stayed with the DB, they would get a true up to come up to the same level of benefits as if they would have stayed on the DB. And then all employees at the time who were not yet eligible to be on the plan and all future employees would be on the new, what we call the new plan, and it had the DBDC component. The employees contributed 3%, employer matched 3%, and then there was a 457 optional piece that through a different company, but the employer matching piece of that went into this DC component. Unfortunately, 10 years later, you could really see the disparity in employee benefits. You had a group of employees that were receiving approximately a 13% annual contribution by the employer, and then the new plan employees were receiving about a 9% contribution. And that, among other things, you really had two classifications of employees. And it was at that time we looked at, is there something that we can do better for our employees? Not to mention recruiting employees on this plan, it was not something you could use for recruiting. So we went out and we looked at the state plans that were available to the Brazos River Authority. And TCDRS is the state plan that we're allowed to participate in. We talked with them and reviewed it, and then the board in September of 2007 voted to freeze the plan, that the DBDC plan and the prior plan freeze for all participants and transition all employees onto TCDRS. And in 2008, we began to work on amending the plan to split it into two, because again, we had a DB component and a DC, which is highly unusual. And the thought was, you know, we would eventually want to pay out the DC, you know, distribute those funds to the employees so they can manage themselves and keep the DB portion. So we had to split the plan in two before we could do that, because you can't terminate part of a plan. We had a little bit of problems with an actuary. We had to switch actuarial services, so that in 2009 we basically started over again. And finished the work. It was turned over to our attorney to review, and on October 25th, that should say 2010, correct? In October 25th, 2010, it just doesn't seem that long ago, the board voted to create the DC plan, so they approved the new plan, transferred the DC portion of retirement plan assets to the new plan, and then terminate the DC plan. So all of that happened all at the same time. And then both plans were submitted, the DB plan without the DC component, and the DC plan were submitted to the IRS for determination. here's what the plan looks like. We had the one plan, we split it, we have a frozen DB plan, which is kept at the Wells Fargo, and the terminated DC plan is also at Wells Fargo at this time, and that's what we hope to be able to distribute to the employees when we receive a favorable determination. This is why I knew that other slide was wrong. On January 7th of 2011, we submitted the plans to the IRS. We received our first correspondence from the IRS on January 26th of this year. They had 4 questions for the DB plan and 8 questions for the DC plan. And from what I'm understanding from our attorney who's been helping us with this, this isn't bad at all. Fairly simple questions. It was pretty easy go of it. The area of concern, the one boo-boo apparently we made along the way, is there was a new code, a new requirement, a section 415 in the IRS code, and it's related to the limitations on benefits and contributions that we needed to have an amendment for our plan prior to March 1st of 2009. The plan was frozen, we were in the middle of switching actuary services at that time, and it got missed. So this statement was in the plans when they were submitted in 2011 to the IRS, so we did recognize it. It was in the split plans. Unfortunately, we should have had an amendment also prior to the time. So we're in the process of now, I think we submitted it last week. Can you switch the next one? We submitted the response to the both questions, sets of questions for the plans, submitted it to the IRS by last Friday. The DB plan questions were, see that section 102 that's underlined? In our plan document, we just had an underline. We forgot to put the section in there. So the IRS pinged us on that one. And then see that T, there was a letter T, after at the end it has 1.401A9-6 and it had a big T, and they didn't want us to have a big T. So that's now gone. So that was part of the DB concerns. Those were the amendments. We have to amend the plan to fix that. So I'm thinking we're doing pretty well. And we added an additional language for the Section 415. Although we had some language in there, it basically said, hey, we're going to comply with Section 415. We made it more specific when we submitted it to the IRS, our response back to the IRS. So although they could come back and give us problems for not submitting the amendment or doing our amendment timely, more than likely they won't. The plan was frozen. It didn't matter one way or another to our plan. So we believe probably not that this explanation will be fine, and the fact that, you know, we had it in the plan when they were split will probably be okay.
Well, yes, I think when you changed that a minute ago, you said to October of 11. Shouldn't it be October of 10?
10, yes. It said October of 11. We
Did
brought
say 11?
It to the
okay,
it said 11. We brought it to the committee and to the board in October of 10.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yes, sir. And then submitted it to the IRS in January of 11.
Okay.
It's amazing. I look at these things for hours and we review them and review them.
It was 10 the other day when we did the pre-recording.
And so the only, this is just, was it? Okay, good. I felt better because I'm thinking, how did that suddenly become? But anyway, so it is actually was 10, and then we submitted in 11. We heard back in 12. I think now that we've received the notification on the questions and we've replied back, I think we'll probably hear back from them pretty quick. I mean, that's just my gut. On the amendments, in October of 2011, the committee authorized the general manager to do whatever it takes, including amendments to the plan based on what the IRS submits back. So unless the committee has a concern about that, we could bring it the ratification in April if you like, but we needed to move forward and get that off by Friday.
There's really no material.
Oh, no material except for the additional language on Section 415 in the DC plan. Yeah, it was not at all.
Too much to do at the IRS.
Yeah, I guess.
And
I
they
mean,
take a year.
I mean, I was impressed. At, yeah, really.
Well,
I mean, it's they keep their job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, they're busy.
I'm getting the finger, the rolling finger. That's it on that one. Were there any other questions on the history of the plan and where we are and